Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started.
Consuming ultra-processed foods can increase cognitive decline. A recent study published in JAMA Neurology has shed light on the impact of processed foods on cognitive health. The study followed 10,000 Brazilian men and women for up to 10 years and found that those who consumed more than 20% of their daily caloric intake from ultra-processed foods, such as fast food and microwavable meals, had a 25% increased rate of decline in executive function and a 28% increased rate of overall cognitive decline.
Executive function is a crucial aspect of cognitive health as it refers to the ability of the brain to process information and make decisions. It's important for a wide range of cognitive tasks such as planning, problem solving, and attention to detail. The fact that ultra-processed foods were found to have such significant negative impact on executive function is concerning, as this type of cognitive decline can have serious consequences for daily life.
It's worth noting that this association between processed foods and cognitive decline was less pronounced in individuals who had a generally high-quality diet, including a lot of unprocessed fruits, vegetables, grains, and proteins. This suggests that while it's important to be mindful of our intake of processed foods, it's also important to maintain a healthy overall diet.
However, it's not always easy to avoid processed foods, especially for those who face food insecurity or have limited access to fresh, whole foods. In many developed countries, ultra-processed foods make up a significant portion of the diet. In the U.S., for example, 58% of calories consumed come from ultra-processed foods, while in Canada and the U.K., that figure is 56% and 48%, respectively. These foods are often cheaper and more convenient than unprocessed foods, which can make them appealing for people with busy schedules or with limited resources.
The results of this study highlight the importance of diet quality in maintaining cognitive health and the need for public health efforts to focus on promoting the consumption of unprocessed whole foods. While it's not always possible to completely eliminate processed foods from our diets, making an effort to incorporate more whole, unprocessed options can have a positive impact on our cognitive function and overall health.
Yeah, you know, 100%. You've heard me make this statement a million times, you know, like on Saturday mornings, what do you see on TV? You know, the cartoons, you're just seeing these sugar cereals, basically bowls of sugar kind of masquerading as cereal, breakfast options for children. And and the reason why we don't see broccoli or Brussels sprouts being advertised because there isn't a big broccoli lobby in the U.S. Federal and lawmaking apparatus. And so, what do we have? I mean, we have these foods, these just terrible foods, you know. And we look at kind of our society kind of has this problem with shaming and blaming those that are unhealthy amongst us or who make poor food options, quote unquote, or the obesity or fat shaming or what have you. And the real issue here, it's not that, I mean, sure, I would imagine there are people who make poor decisions about that, about what they eat, but I would imagine they're probably in the minority. What it is that the options that people have to eat, especially at the amazingly low wages that people are paid and the options they have to be able to afford this food. This is just another kind of what it is to be in the cycle of poverty that our you know, hyper-capitalistic parasitic society imposes upon people. And this is just another example of this. And now we're seeing that these ultra-processed foods, which people are in some cases forced to take almost greater than almost 60% of their calories come from this. And now we see that there's an increase in cognitive decline. And again, it's just shameful.
Well, first of all, it's not just the money to be able to purchase the foods, it's being able to actually physically access them if they're available or not, and cook them and store them and use them before 100%. They spoil, right? And all of that does take quite a bit of, you know, like we have plenty of fresh access. We are privileged enough to have the money and the access to the fresh vegetables and resources. And when I come home really tired at the end of the day, sometimes popping in a frozen pizza just feels like the best option. So we all, you know, have to rely on some of these foods every once in a while. The really insidious thing, though, is how much these limit your ability to break that cycle. And by impacting cognitive function, executive function, those are the kinds of skill sets that basically are needed to, you know, get ahead at work, get promoted, you know, find another job, manage a complicated kids' schedule and budget for your household and all those things that you need just to make your life run. And that this is making it harder and harder to do that. That's just the part that's so cruel and insidious.
A new look on brain functions. Neuroscientists have developed a new model of how the brain works, leading to a fresh take on what makes us each have unique compositions. Previous models show that the human brain in individuals differs based on how specific brain regions work, but the new model now shows that the brain functions differently based on how these regions communicate with each other.
In the past, we used to think that brain functions were localized in certain brain regions. But the latest research shows us that in addition to this, brain functions, quote unquote, emerge based on communication between regions, and that how they communicate varies between different people. These connections influence brain function and structure by amplifying or reducing brain signals. When you do mental tasks, for instance, solving a math problem, certain parts of the brain show increased activity. These are largely similar person to person, but things get interesting when these brain regions are communicating with each other during this activity. Math experts, for instance, are much more likely to have regions involved with creativity, not only lighting up, but communicating with the more computational part of the brain.
The neuroscientists who performed the study explained that the quote-unquote textbook brain we all know needs to evolve to fit these newly discovered realities. When studying neuroscience with only images of a quote-unquote standard brain, one is unable to understand the intricacies of the differences between each person's individual brain. This new network approach lets scientists model brain variability much more accurately.
Clinical treatments could also benefit from this new approach to brain function. For instance, in patients with similar brain abnormalities, we would expect them, therefore, to be facing similar difficulties. Except in one person, the brain may seem to be functioning without problems. Using this new view of the brain, in this example, for instance, could help doctors learn why patients with damaged parts of the brain who do not demonstrate challenges from that damage might be literally short-circuiting a workaround for that part of their brain using inter-region brain communication to negate the damage. The hope is that one day soon, those who are negatively affected by similar damage could have their brain slowly coached into strengthening similarly helpful inter-region zones.
So according to the research team, creating professional networks will be necessary to integrate multiple fields of neuroscientific research into this updated model. These advances will make it possible to develop advanced neuroimaging methods and personalized anatomical models, which might just be coming to a hospital near you. Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Pickerson, at hopepickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.